Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of the Sonoma County Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County, I said that really fast.
You did.
A special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine, and we already have the giggles. Or
the giggles.
I do. Maybe I do.
I know. I feel like I might have to repeat everything you said so people can understand it.
I know.
But what do you think? No?
If you want.
We're basically just saying Sonoma County's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll sum it up
that's
that
kind of
way.
All we really need to say.
That's pretty good, right? No, and it is awesome. We're in April. When did that happen?
It's always a good question, but pretty welcome to be April.
It is, I know.
I like March, April, May.
Yeah. June, July, August.
I mean, I could go
on. And then we roll right into harvest.
I don't like January. Don't love January.
Yeah, no, January's
tough. February's mixed.
Yeah. No, but March was a great month, and now April.
Mm.
So, I mean, we're definitely at the Wine Growers in the swing of things. I would say our theme this month is all things Psalms.
Okay.
All not things songs, Psalms,
yep.
Sommeliers.
Right. How so?
So we just hosted, thank you, Wine Institute. They brought a group of Psalms in from Mexico, which is really interesting.
Fantastic.
And great to be connected during all of these crazy times. But they came in. We got to spend a whole day with them. We did a winemaker panel. We talked to them about sustainability. We had them have lunch with our growers. So just a great immersion, really. And what Wine Institute asked us to focus on was our sustainability commitment. So that was a full day really connected back to sort of value alignment on sustainability and getting to talk a lot about our employees and social sustainability, which I think is still pretty groundbreaking for folks around the world.
So, it sure is.
I know.
Do you have a sense of how much Sonoma County wine there gets sold in Mexico?
That's a great question. I did have that chart, but I don't have it off the top of my
sizable
head.
Sizable amount, you think?
I think it's pretty decent. I mean, it's the taxation to get things across the border make California wine incredibly expensive in Mexico. But we're excited because I think it's really hard, especially for some of our small winery partners, to get distribution there. And so we have partnered with Landry's, our partner there, to actually bring, I think it's ended up being about 13 Sonoma County wineries to Mexico City for a wine event at the end of this month, so the last weekend. And we're doing a trade event, so hopefully some of the wineries that don't have distribution can get distribution. And then we're doing a consumer event and a winemaker dinner. So kind of bookending our April with Psalms coming here from Mexico, and then we're taking a delegation of winemakers and growers to Mexico City at the end of the month.
Well, look at that.
I know. So there you go.
A great culinary city. Great city in general, but certainly food scene insane.
Yeah. I haven't been there. Well, I was last there and only there, I should say, in Mexico City in 2017 and absolutely loved it. I was there with the German Marshall Fund.
There
incredible
was a
small
city.
Group. I know.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to go back through kind of the lens. That time was sort of the lens of policy and transatlantic relationships. And this time it's going to be through the lens of food and wine, which I'm way more excited about.
The ultimate diplomatic tool.
Exactly. Is not wine the ultimate diplomatic tool?
I think it is.
We should probably, everyone out there should then be drinking more wine these days. Way more diplomacy needed.
I think there are lots of places that are.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree. Like my home.
Right. Yeah.
For exactly. Sure. I can guarantee you one place that is still very definitely supporting wine.
Yes. Same.
I know.
So what else? What else have you got going on?
So speaking of, I said April's Psalm theme month, coming into town on Monday, we are hosting the Court of Sommeliers they do a women's symposium to really elevate women that want to be in that role in our wine community. And so we're actually hosting them for a dinner, and we're trying our first fireside chat. So after dinner, we actually invited Amy G, who is a friend to Sonoma County Wine Growers, and we're going to just talk to her about what she's seen in terms of building resilient teams and sort of overcoming challenges and sort of talk a little bit about the path for the Giants in 10, 12, and 14 to win the World Series, sort of those little nuggets of kind of excellence and pushing yourself. So I think that's going to be really fun. And then we are on a sustainability panel on Tuesday with them. So dinner we're hosting for everyone on Monday night, and then a panel on Tuesday on sustainability. So again, it's been a bookend sort of weekend, bookending our weekend with Psalms.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, I think that seems like plenty.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. It's really fun to host folks, though, here, as you know.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we will introduce our guests on The Good Stuff. Good Stuff. We are here in studio today with our guest, Lauren Fremont, Executive Director of Dry Creek Valley Wine Growers, and Amanda Brower, PR Communications and Marketing Manager. Welcome.
The dynamic Dry Creek Valley duo.
I know.
I know. Thank you for having us.
Thank
I know we're
you.
Lucky. Most of the other AVAs don't have two as
I
their
know, it's
head,
amazing.
So we're very lucky to have each other.
We are, and very excited to be here, too.
And matching hats, I might add,
I
that says Team Dry Creek Valley. So you're in it. You're in it to definitely tell the story of Dry Creek Valley. So where to begin?
I think we start with both of them and just get a little scoop on who they are and how they ended up in supporting the Dry Creek Valley, and then we can dive into all things
here.
Dry Creek. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren, let's start with you.
Okay. Yay. I moved to Healdsburg in 2022, that summer, post-COVID, two little kids. My parents live in Dry Creek Valley. They live over on West Dry Creek, and they have a tiny bit of a vineyard there. And I had just had our second son, so I actually moved on from running the events at Boston Ballet, where we had lived before in Boston for about 4 years. And I'm finally like out of that, like, I'm like the person who's like, has the baby and needs to go back to work.
So
I'm deep in looking for work or whatnot, and, you know, it's always a process. And then I just found a thing for Wine Growers of Dry Creek Valley. And I'm like, what is this? And I'm looking through the website. And I'm like, I don't really know what this organization does. And already I had little light bulbs in my head because I was just like, I want to be a part of this and see what's going on. And then I was talking to my parents. And my dad's like, I don't think that's a real job, Lauren. We're members. And I have no idea what's happening there. So again, light bulb. And I was like, ooh, a thing to fix.
That's an opportunity.
Yes. So anyways, I had a wonderful, I had a great run of interviews, and I was actually post-COVID was the first sort of brand new employee, and like slowly to grow into a new management team, hopefully, to really just revive the organization. Mm-hmm. And so I was really excited that, you know, again, to me, it was being a brand new person. I also saw it as a great way to just be fully immersed into this new community where I literally knew no one except for my parents.
right.
And actually make a difference. You know, I think in a lot of organizations or businesses, you're kind of this cog and you don't really see the fruit of all the work you do. And so I was like, let's do this.
But how did your parents end up here? You didn't grow up here.
I did not grow up here. They ended up here. They actually looked for 10 years all up and down Sonoma County and Napa find their retirement home. So moved from New York City, and they just, my dad wanted to find land that where the soil and the climate was very similar to the south of France where he grew up.
He
was really into gardening and agriculture, and so that was like his dream post, you know, his career as a perfumer, which is a whole other story. The actual soil in Dry Creek Valley and the climate is very, very similar to Cannes, where he grew up.
Okay.
So he was like, I can literally grow everything that I grew up around, which is very romantic.
Wow. I love that.
I do love that.
And so they found, actually, their real estate broker sold them her house because they fell in love with it over on West Dry Creek, across the street from Matarana, a little bit halfway down from Quivira and down the road from Raffinelli, which happens also to be my dad's favorite wine. And he's like, wait a second, I get to move next to the, like, my favorite makers.
That's awesome.
How meant to be.
Yeah. And so they ended up there. And like I said, they were grower members for Wine Growers of Dry Creek Valley, just, again, to be part of a community and whatnot. So it was kind of a nice, you know, tie there mm-hmm. to be. And then my sisters, actually right before myself, also moved. So now all the grandkids are together. Everyone's always asking my dad and mom. They're like, how did you... Usually, like, yeah, you know, it's the
parents
the other
move
way
to
around.
The kids, not but, the parents move and
but
all
that's,
the kids
that's
come.
What happened. You moved to, like, Heavensburg. Yeah. Like, somebody called Healdsburg the other day to me, and I was like, oh, I kind of agree.
Yeah. And then everybody flocks here, too. Yes. Yeah. Wow, that makes perfect sense.
So that's how I ended up with Wine Growers. And then a year later, I met Amanda.
Okay. So, Amanda, it's your turn
tossing
to tell
the baton.
Us.
Yes.
Okay. So, a little bit of background on me. I was born in Maryland, so on the East Coast. I grew up with a father who is a 30-year Navy vet, so we moved quite a bit around when I was a kid. Landed in Marin when I was 14 with my mom and have been between Marin and Sonoma County ever since. Prior to Wine Growers, I actually was at the Press Democrat, Sonoma Media Investments. I worked directly under the CRO and did sales, did account management, really kind of found a love for community through my work there. And during that time, I also started working part-time at Region, which is a mm-hmm. tasting yeah. room in Sebastopol. A longtime friend and owner, Carrie, brought me on to kind of help her get it off the ground and help in the shop. And that was really my entry to the wine industry at that point. Mm-hmm. And through a connection there, I was introduced to Lauren and she hired me. Our interview was a 30 minute and from 30 minutes, it was like an hour and 15 minutes, yep. which was wonderful. And that's how I got to Wine Growers of Dry Creek Valley. And I love it. It's amazing.
It's kind of fun because it's sort of this, it almost has a startup vibe to it. And, you know, we have this incredible board of 9 humans who are a mix of growers and winery owners and winemakers, and they really give us this like beautiful autonomy and trust. Mm-hmm. And so even though, you know, we really get to like touch every aspect of this tiny but mighty, you know, little nonprofit, and it's great. I mean, they really, they're like, as long as you stay within the budget, you can do whatever you want because we believe.
I love it. So maybe talk a little bit. So we do have some listeners that aren't local that are around even outside the U.S. So maybe explain a little bit about just Dry Creek. You keep referencing Dry Creek Valley and Wine Growers of Dry Creek. So talk a little bit about the valley, what you're referring to, and then also what the organization is and does.
Sure. So Dry Creek Valley is one of the smallest AVAs in Sonoma County. We call it tiny but mighty, and it's 16 miles long by 2 miles wide, which is really special because it's very just, it kind of already has this like cozy feeling where mm-hmm, all the wineries mm-hmm. and the growers, and you'll see sort of like the, you know, the like ups and downs, valleys and elevation just right there when you drive in, and you're instantly kind of transported in this like idyllic little
yeah,
area.
It's very self-contained.
It is very yeah. self-contained. And very, I think, for either the wine curious or somebody who's been, you know, around wine for a very long time, it feels very accessible.
It is, yep.
And
I would agree
with that. And sort of approachable. You can really just, there's still a lot of the wineries that are, you know, just open for walk-ins, which is kind of rare these days. You can just still hop around and, you know, have this wonderful day. We have the Dry Creek General Store also, which is kind of the anchor right in the yes. middle yeah. there. It has the bar and some of the best sandwiches, and it's such a vibe. You feel like you've been transported to, like, the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, and this tiny area in hindsight is incredible because, again, of the sort of elevation and change in sort of drastic change in climate of these really cool nights and really warm days. The growers there are able to have just such a vast amount of varietals, and mm-hmm. they get to play so much. I mean, the more we talk to, you know, our growers and our viticulturists and whatnot, it's just amazing. I mean, basically, besides some of those really, really, I think, you know, delicate grapes like a Pinot, for example, that, you know, has a hard time with the hot mm-hmm. summers, it's amazing all the different varietals that we can grow. I mean, I know, for example, Orsi is a good example. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he told us the other day he grows
like 16 or 17,
16-17 varietals, yeah, like alone, mm-hmm, which is not, you know, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are pretty, a lot of them are Italian varietals. Quite a few of them are rare. Mounts is a very long time grower, also multi-generational. I think at this point they're growing 32 different varietals.
Oh my God.
And they just play a lot. I mean, in some of them, you mm-hmm know, it gets mixed in just a tiny bit into some of the blends or sold as, you know, a very small batch. But it's kind of fun because they get to constantly just test it out and whatnot. So, and then Wine Grows of Dry Creek Valley is essentially a nonprofit for trade where, you know, high level, we protect and promote the area, mm-hmm, as much as possible in a really holistic way. So even when Amanda and I first started, we kept feeling a little bit like, okay, how do we just like rein in our efforts here and really make the most of it? And our whole thought process was, you know, how do we create sort of a brand that is Dry Creek Valley, mm-hmm, and really, yeah, make that as authentic as possible and then be able to like run with it so that it sort of is as inclusive as possible with all of our members, which is a mix of wineries, growers, and then we also have this category of affiliate members. So most of our essentially our funding and a support system comes from our members, and then it comes from events, specifically Passport, which is our big one annual
coming up
mothership.
So to how many wineries, how many growers would you say like are
so
in your
we have we have just about under like 68, 67 winery members.
Okay. That's a good amount.
So we're almost at 100%, which is amazing. And then we have just over 100 growers as members as well. And probably about 30 affiliate members or so. So, and we started the affiliate program, mm-hmm, the two of us. So that's grown since we, over a year and a half
which
ago.
Which is basically anybody that doesn't own a winery or is a grower, but is still part of our community. So mm-hmm it could be a baker, it could be a restaurant owner. Mm-hmm. We have graphic designers, we have photographers, which is nice because then they have access to our members' events and they get to network and, you know, mm-hmm, know what's going on in their own community as mm-hmm well. So
coming in, I mean, from each of your perspectives, like what did you see as the biggest opportunity to grow this organization?
I mean, I think for me it was twofold. I think because, again, full transparency, the organization definitely went through its, you know, ebbs and flows and some good and bad. And, you know, right when I picked it up, there had been sort of this rift of what is the point of this organization and mm-hmm why are the members a part of it? So I really spent the first year rebuilding this trust. And people just want to be heard. They just want to... Yeah. They just want to meet you. I mean, I met some members, and these are big wineries where the owners were like, we haven't seen anybody from this organization in like a decade. And I was like, what?
Yeah, that goes huge.
You know, we've also, I mean, even like these hats, you know, it's sort of like this tiny link of like, we're a team, we're all in this together, guys. Like, no one's perfect. We're going to be, you know, we are also going to have our ups and downs, but we will listen to you and, you know, we'll take everything into consideration. Like, I'm all about the constructive criticism. So it was really nice to understand what was happening there.
Yeah.
And then we saw it as this opportunity of once we rebuilt that sense of trust and community, that really, you know, the members felt like the more they put in, the more they got out of it and the more opportunities started popping up. Mm-hmm. And also we just gained confidence about, you know, how much we love Dry Creek Valley and being able to capture, when you talk to anybody in this area that is Dry Creek Valley, I mean, the heart that you feel. I mean, I know we talk about this with a lot of the other AVAs, but I mean, you have to love it.
Yeah.
But I think it's also a mix of all these, there's just still so many of these family-owned wineries in this tiny area. And, you know, just seeing their day-to-day and it's, I don't know, it's just like, it just like fills your cup like all the time. And so we want to do right by our members too. So for us, then the next step is the business perspective of it, of how do we align with other brands, right? Let's not reinvent the wheel. If there are other brands that are, that have a similar ethos or want to be a part of the story and that will in part like mm-hmm support what we're doing, both from a financial standpoint, but also from this credibility, right? Everyone's sort of fighting for a piece of the pie, of course. And so the more we can find those, you know, either opportunities to show Dry Creek Valley wines or have another brand sort of stand by Dry Creek Valley, it just helps, you know, really all of us. So we kind of are constantly looking at it at this very, like, thoughtful but also very sort of broad range and not just like a specific, you know, like we're just gonna focus on Zin.
Right, which is alienating to the people that don't make it
exactly.
or want to
yeah.
tell the other parts of the stories. So interesting. I think we have to take a quick break. So we'll do that, and when we come back we'll talk more with our guests from Dry Creek Valley Wine Growers. Good Stuff with Lauren Fremont, Amanda Brower from Dry Creek Valley Wine Growers in their matching hats. We love it.
I was feeling all the love in that last
session,
right?
So much love for Dry Creek Valley.
I know.
But there is a signature event, as you mentioned, Passport, and it's coming up. So give us a little bit of information, just kind of like how Passport started, what, how it's evolved, what you are doing maybe differently.
Sure. Yeah. I'll talk a little bit about like what it is, and then Amanda can talk about kind of how it evolved, because that's her, that's all her jam.
All right.
But so actually I found the letter from 1988 where Dave Stair, who is the founder of Dry Creek Vineyard, wrote basically, you know, at the time it was like typing up like the notes from
on the old old typewriter.
It literally is typewriter
with like white out.
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
nice.
That in 1988 they had this thought of basically doing this quote unquote open house in Dry Creek Valley, where they would open up all the wineries, and it was really for the community to get a chance to, you know, sort of get a chance to meet their neighbors and understand what the other wineries were making and whatnot. And 2 years later, 1990 was when Passport first really got started. So 88 was kind of like the thought, you know, and then honestly, that's what it is. It is this giant, beautiful open house. We're about to head into our 34th edition of it. And it's definitely also, you know, has had its ebb and flows. It's one of the longest, the oldest festival essentially in California. So we like
How
to call
cool
it sort of this legacy event.
Fascinating.
And to me, the coolest thing about it is, unlike a lot of consumer tasting events where, you know, you have your classic 6-foot table draped and whatnot, this is really where people get to hop around, and we like to say almost in these wineries' homes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, again, because so much of it is family owned, this is where like generations of kids like have run through the vineyards, and the winemakers are there every day, and you know, literally like the trade is passed down from family to family. And again, in this very contained, beautiful little hidden gem, you know, just right off Healdsburg. And it's just, it's lived on. And I'll be honest, we've thought a few times, like, do we reinvent this? Like, how do we make this maybe different? You know, just in its actual setup. But the fact is, like, the setup is the most beautiful part of it. And you know, when people get their tickets, they just select their starting winery. But beyond that, there's no reservations needed. They can literally hop around to, you know, over 25 wineries per day. And all of them have food and entertainment and obviously a variety of delicious wines. A lot of new releases since the spring. It is always the last weekend of April. So yeah, 30.
Good to own a date.
That's an important part of it.
It is.
And you get repeat visitors, I imagine.
So many repeat visitors. But I'll let Amanda talk a little bit more about it, because she's just done this like beautiful job of getting this whole new fresh blood coming this year, in the past couple of years. So we're just excited to kind of, again, I think it's a matter of like, how do we keep staying relevant and tweaking it just enough and being thoughtful, whether it's, you know, the ticket price or whatnot, or what's the offerings, or how are we even just portraying the event? But this event is here to stay.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Okay. Well, tell us more.
Anywhere.
Well, 34 years in, I hope so.
Yeah.
Come on.
So, as Lauren said, 34 years, after it got kicked off, and, you know, the decades that came after that of the event, it really kind of came this event in the Valley where it was very saturated with attendees. It became a little messy. The land wasn't being taken care of the way it should have been, and the respect was there while what wasn't there. And so there was some evolution in kind of seeing how things could be more thoughtful with the event, but still approachable in terms of attendees coming and, you know, being able to get those tickets and whatnot. So the last couple of years that I've been a part of it with Lauren, originally we had a higher dollar ticket price. And then after last year with, you know, post-COVID, it was really like the first or the second time that it had happened since post-COVID. And it was, you know, ebbs and flowed, like Lauren mentioned. And this year, we really took a different approach to it to make it accessible to everyone. So we reeled out the tickets in pricing tiers, and we have some fabulous sponsors that we're working with that we're still going to be announcing as we go over these next 6 weeks for some surprises. We have 36% of people coming that are new, that have never been before.
Fantastic.
So
super exciting.
I have just been very intentional with our marketing and very thoughtful with it in terms of, you know, highlighting the wineries, giving them the attention that they deserve, because at the end of the day, they're really going all out and putting their whole heart and soul into this full weekend of festivities for those who are coming to see them. People are really surprised in the organization part of it that it's just Lauren and I that do everything on the back end from start to finish.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
That's why I started with the dynamic duo.
Exactly. Come on.
But at the end of the day, people aren't coming here to see us. You know,
I don't
we
know,
go
Amanda.
Around.
They're coming to see me, clearly.
They want Team Dry Creek hats,
they
okay?
Want the hats,
they want
yes.
to earn the hats.
Yeah.
We make our rounds and we split up the valley and we visit all the wineries during the weekend and see the attendees and get to meet people. And I get all kinds of content for our social media and whatnot, but it really is the wineries that people are coming here to see. So we want to make sure that we give them the attention and highlights and recognition that they deserve.
So can I just jump in? So talk about, like, does it start on a Friday? Is it just over the weekend? Like, what's the lineup?
So this year, it's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, we're doing kind of a two-for-one special called Twice as Nice. So we have a handful of wineries that volunteered to participate, and what they do during the day is what they want to do. It's not like a passport ticket.
Okay.
It's more of just kind of them doing what they want. We have it on our website. We're, you know, sending people to that page and on our ticketing site and whatnot for them to choose that as just an extra bonus for the day. And then it gets really exciting Friday night. We're doing a big kickoff party at Bacchus Landing with over 20 wineries. We're
awesome.
Focusing more on boutique wineries that don't have a place in the weekend, you know, whether it's the capacity for hundreds of people or parking or, you know, very small production wines that are really meant to be highlighted in that intentional way at the event. So that's going to be wonderful. We have Chef Kevin O'Connor from Hulu's Chefs Versus Wild coming. He's going to do a huge open fire cooking in the piazza, walk around DJ. It's going to be really vibey and just the perfect way to kick off the weekend. But also just a great way to come and celebrate on a Friday night because it's its own ticket. So you don't have to participate during the weekend.
I see a lot of locals doing that.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then Saturday and Sunday is more of your traditional open house vibe. We have 26 wineries participating each day, and all wineries have, you know, their lineup of wines that they're pouring, their food that they're pairing with the wine that they're pouring, whether that's a local catering company, a local chef, but it's definitely all local, which is great. And, you know, there'll be live music, bands, DJs, whatever they feel is going to fit their vibe for their space. And some wineries are doing themes. It's just like a full blown out situation, and we have single day tickets and 2 day tickets. So there's just a little bit for everybody. We also have non-drinker tickets, so you can come and enjoy the weekend, but you know, you don't have to participate in the wine. You can just have the food and dance all day.
I love it. And so I do think we have a website for that, is drycreekvalley.org, correct? Is
That's there? Right. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the events, I think, on the weekend are 11, the open house part are 11 to 4 p.m. And then there's the Friday night dance party, which, you know.
Yeah, I think that sounds like fun.
We even added an attire.
Yep.
It's your favorite wine tone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
I know. Wait for it, because Amanda's about to release a whole mood board.
I'm currently working on the mood board.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Well, I don't know yet if I'm like sparkly and wearing like, you know, sort of like a very, very pale yellow, or am I wearing like a deep garnet?
Yeah.
So many decisions to make.
Is Amanda choosing for you? Do you get to choose each other outfits?
No. But
we'll do an unveiling?
We definitely talk about it.
I kind of want that. Yeah. I want the unveiling.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about this off on our break, and we'll be right back on the good stuff.
Sounds good.
Good stuff. Wrap things up with our guests, Lauren Fremont, Amanda Brower from Dry Creek Valley Wine Growers. So Passport sounds incredible. April 26th, 27th, get your tickets, drycreekvalley.org.
So is it the 34th year or the 35th year?
This is 34.
So this is 34.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right. What's next after that? I mean, I know that, like, isn't that enough?
Yeah, I know,
you're probably
right?
Thinking, but
I know,
of course,
the two of you planning
course,
all that.
And of course it's not.
No, I know. No, it's okay. It's great. I mean, then we go really some focus into, like, our members' events because, you know, the weather starts getting warmer, which is really nice. Honestly, we start kind of working on Passport very quickly after this one's done.
Yeah.
Because we started selling tickets in October. Wow. It's a pretty quick turnaround. But, you know, our next focus after this is we're reviving the river cruise, and we are going to Paris next year. Paris
nice.
And Normandy.
Okay.
That's amazing.
2026, wow. And it's going to be June 18th to 25th. We're bringing three wineries that we're so excited about: Amista, Dutcher Crossing, and Fat Dragon, who's
fantastic.
A little newer, but absolutely incredible, and focuses really on a lot of Rhone varietals. And Amanda and I will be there. So
yes, we will.
So
I
you
love
know,
that.
Join us. But the best part about it is actually the three winemakers from each of those wineries will also be there. And you guys, those three winemakers are like best friends, which I love.
Are they really?
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So how many people can go on this cruise?
So I think it's anywhere between 140 and 160.
Okay.
And it's 7 nights. We're just excited. I mean, the organization used to do these types of cruises as sort of a fundraiser, which is the point of it again. But this is, I think, you know, again, this is a great and fun opportunity to sort of rebrand and refresh and
yes.
this whole concept. And how do we attract, you know, new people to join us on this little adventure? We're psyched. Plus, Paris is home to me and home to Amanda's family as well. So that was like the first on the list. I'm like, yes, we're going to Paris.
Yeah, of course. All good trips should start.
But I want to jump in. So explain this for folks who haven't done a river cruise, like focused on wine. So they're going to get like curated dinners, or how does that work? Like, what's the experience?
So it's a mix from the wine perspective. It's going to be some master classes from each of these winemakers, and then there'll be curated dinners, a welcome party. Again, the winemakers are there. They'll be paired, you know, all their wines will be paired specifically with just like the incredible cuisine that the ship offers. And then obviously it's mixed with a lot of on-land excursions
right.
and experiences and really sort of blending this idea of, you know, these personalities and wines with these, with really like this rich history, you know, all along the Seine. So it's not, you know, you're not traveling super far away, but you're going to get to be immersed in so much and have delicious wine and food. I kind of, and really fun people. Yeah. I feel like it's going to be a party.
It's going to be such a party.
Well, you're on a cruise. Nobody has to drive. Yeah. Nobody has to get anywhere. Like, everyone's relaxed.
Just get to your room.
Yeah. And you, I love the idea of, like, all the stops. So how many stops are there usually?
7 nights, and there's 5 stops, I so believe. And there's there's options, you know, different. Like, you can go visit Giverny, for example, where Manet's inspiration is. And, you know, there's a bunch of, of course, there's some chateaus along the way, and Joan of Arc. We're going to have to cut this part out because I don't even know how to describe it.
her main town, where she was.
Well, thank God you're going to go there.
That,
then
that
next
feels a
time.
No,
it's all fun. I just like the idea that you're going to be drinking Dry Creek Valley wines in Paris.
Right.
And along the Seine. All the way to Normandy.
I know.
Fantastic.
So it
that's pretty awesome.
Okay, so people can find it out more also at drycreekvalley.org?
That's correct. Yes. Okay. Everything lives there. You'll see it bright and shiny on our homepage.
Yeah.
All right.
And get tickets to Passport April 26th and 27th or the evening
or the
event.
Party.
A welcome
25th.
Party on Friday the 25th at Bacchus
Landing. We're so excited.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And everybody, get your tickets.
Get your tickets.
Get your tickets.
Thank you for having
us.
Are you going to go on the cruise and to Passport Weekend? Or,
I know, seriously. I know. I mean, that was so much fun.
Yeah.
Clearly great advocates and champions for Dry Creek Valley and Sonoma County.
And bringing people up here. And I mean, I'd love, I had a lot more questions about, like, how are you getting 37% more people that, you know, that
haven't been before?
Yeah. Like, how do you do that? It's fantastic.
I think that's amazing.
Yep.
I know. And then how do we have them just completely fall in love and keep coming back?
Well, that's
the obvious.
Always happens.
Yeah, for sure. No, Dry Creek Valley, a very important part of our history and community here.
I love it. So
I know. What are we doing?
Tuesday Night Wine is another reason to come back. So what are you doing?
Well, I'm going to get, they gave a little bit of a shout out, but I'm going to do a Mounts, actually the 2022 Grenache from their estate, sticking with the Rhones, but Rich Mounts. They were mentioning multi-generational. Rich Mounts was on my hiring committee. So I've known him literally since I started. And what a great family and just wonderful human being. So love supporting the Mounts.
And so he said yes to hiring you?
He did, clearly. Okay. I think so.
All right. Well,
I should look back at my employment folder and see what the note said.
Right,
like,
maybe he was the one dissent.
Was it
like
yay or nay? I don't know. I'm just going to go with yes. He
it
was
all
a strong
works out.
Yes. So. Yeah. How about you? What are you doing?
Well, it was mentioned that they will be on the wine cruise, Fat Dragon.
Love that name.
Good dear friends of mine. I love them both, Mike and Danielle Price. They are based, they're pretty new to Dry Creek Valley, but have a vineyard, and this is their first kind of foray into having their own wines. I'm also doing a 22 Grenache, so we're going to have a
Grenache
22
off.
Grenache Fest.
I know. I threw you a curveball. I was going to do the Syrah, but I decided to go Grenache.
Well, they also do a Syrah. You know, Fat Dragon also makes a Syrah and a Mourvedre.
We should do two
bring them all.
Yeah.
Just bring
okay.
them all.
It'll be around a Dry Creek Valley Rhone night.
Yeah. They're great wines, great people, which I think describes a lot of Dry Creek Valley.
It does.
And I love it. I love that there's some good new energy there.
Yeah, and I think, again, Lauren and Amanda doing a great job in the Dry Creek Valley with the wine growers of Dry Creek, and definitely people should go to Passport. What a great way to experience all those wines in one weekend.
I know.
And meet the people.
DryCreekValley.org. I think that's the thing. You got to meet the people.
Meet the
hear
people.
Hear the banjo.
Be in the place. Be in the place. Meet
okay.
the people. Do all the things.
All right. Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.